Now, President Trump is pitching an economic stimulus package for businesses and workers who have been hurt by COVID-19. At a news conference yesterday, he said the aid could include a payroll tax cut and help for hourly wage earners so that they don't miss a paycheck.
We're going to be working with companies and small companies, large companies, a lot of companies, so that they don't get penalized for something that's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not our country's fault. This was something that we were thrown into, and we're going to handle it, and we have been handling it very well.
The comments came after the Dow Jones dropped more than 2,000 points, its worst day since 2008. It went up more than 1,100 today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the market drop showed that investors lacked confidence in the White House's handling of the situation. At least 800 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in 36 states. Wisconsin confirmed its third case today. We'll talk more about that in our next hour. Eric Giordano is an associate professor of political science for the UW Colleges and director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. He joins me now in our Wausau studio. Eric, good to have you back on the show.
Great to be here, Rob. Thank you.
The president met with Senate and House leaders today to start talking about financial relief for people affected by COVID-19. Let's talk not about the disease side of things, but that the economy side and economic confidence. What are you seeing from the president here?
Well, he obviously, you know, it's got to be distressed by the economic situation. This is really putting a huge damper on not only the economy but on perhaps his own vision of what the economy should and could be. So obviously he wants to do what he can to rebuild confidence in the economy. So that's why he's on the Hill or speaking with people on the Hill to try to restore that.
There's been an argument. Are we trying to deal with the spread of the disease first and foremost, and that's going to restore the economic confidence? Or are we at a point where the economic part of this has taken on a life of its own? What's your read on that?
Well, you know, critics have said from the beginning that we were unprepared, partly exacerbated by some defunding of the CDC and other health institutes and services in our country. So I think there was a feeling and a sense by many ready to pounce on being critical. I don't think the president's early responses taking the coronavirus perhaps as seriously as maybe some of the health experts were also really, I think, hurt him to some extent and maybe also led to some lack of confidence. He isn't going to change who he is, and he cares deeply about the economy. That is clear, and he wants to make sure that we know that he cares and that he will do his best to restore confidence in the economy. So that is his priority, whether we like it or not.
On the Senate floor today, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the best way to ensure economic security is to deal with the virus itself. Here's a listen.
To borrow an expression, you must treat the disease, not the symptoms. Mr. President, do you hear that? You must treat the disease, the coronavirus, not the symptoms, which is the result of the coronavirus, which is the economy.
Is that fair? I mean, some of this is the economy itself too, and there's some overlap there, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be both and. I mean, clearly we and the American public, we want to have confidence that the virus is being addressed, and we know that we've been lacking in test kits. We know that, you know, there are many cities across the country that have don't have the ability to handle this. So people want to have that confidence, and that, of course, is going to affect, you know, their willingness to hold events, to allow transportation, to have the normal business daily business life, and so it ultimately does impact the economy, right? Our ability to address effectively in the minds of the American people that we are having effective preventive measures.
Talking to Eric Giordano with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, looking at the White House response to the novel coronavirus and the economic impact of that. Eric, on the level of leadership in a time of a, you know, kind of a undefined crisis, we have a disease here that's clearly not apocalyptic, but it's also not nothing. Can you talk about the challenges of hitting the right tone, not inflating panic unnecessarily while still, you know, taking a problem seriously?
Yeah, this is no easy way to thread the needle on a crisis, right? I mean, nobody wishes to be in that situation. We've seen it. you know, the criticism of George Bush and how he reacted to 9/11, the criticism of Barack Obama and how he reacted with the Gulf oil spill. And, you know, probably no president is going to react perfectly the way every American thinks that he or she should react. You know, the question is, did he do what he needed to do? Is he doing what he needs to do? I think part of the issue was the delay in taking this seriously and sort of defying even some health experts by saying this was going to peter out, that it really wasn't that big of a deal. And I think that was probably not the right tone to set at the beginning of the crisis. So I think that caused some people to lose some confidence. And of course, it allowed the critics to pile on. So, you know, it's really been a difficult start. And the question is more important to us is how will he finish and how will we finish?
Now, on the politicization of this, we heard Nancy Pelosi accusing the president of mishandling it. We actually heard the voice of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer as well. Yesterday morning, President Trump tweeted, "The fake news media and their partner, the Democrat Party, is doing everything within its semi-considerable power to inflame the coronavirus situation far beyond what the facts would warrant." What do you make of that tone on the Twitter side of President Trump?
Well, unfortunately, it's not unexpected, and I really think that we have to take, you know, the words of Chuck Schumer that you played earlier, that, you know, we're talking about symptoms here of an incredible divide in our country, a political divide. We know that the parties are at the head, the leadership of that divide. So it's not necessarily unexpected that we have it, but it is unfortunate. And, you know, I think personally, I wish that we would all just kind of take a step back and say, look, if there's one time that we ought to be coming together, it's around a crisis. That said, you know, we do want our leader to reflect, you know, the best interests of the country. So it's not that, you know, criticism can't be leveled. It's that, you know, perhaps we should figure out how we're going to solve this problem and focus our energy on that. And I would include the media in really helping us to do that.
How could the media help us do that better? Because that's a thing I think about a lot.
Well, you know, I've watched some television news and on many different channels in the last few days, and what I see is a little less reporting on the facts and a lot of talking heads. And I think this is a symptom of really our media today in America. We know this, so it's not a secret. It's not a surprise. But, you know, there's a lot of people speculating, a lot of people giving opinions that aren't health experts, a lot of people giving political criticism, and, you know, maybe a little less focus on that and a little more focus on reporting what's happening. For example, I was listening to the BBC talking about what were some of the lessons we've learned from how the countries like South Korea versus Iran versus, you know, China have responded to this, and what can we learn from that? I mean, that to me is a constructive conversation.
And we'll be talking to a Wisconsin public health expert in our next hour, so we'll try to dig into some of those issues as well. But Eric, have we lost the capacity to rally together, Republican and Democrat, to take a problem like this head on and not worry, especially in an election year, about who gets credit, who gets blame?
I said this before, Rob. I usually tell my students to remain skeptical, not cynical. But it is really hard not to be cynical about this, because it seems like every time something comes up, you know, we immediately get the sides, you know, taking positions, and it would just be nice if we could decide that we're going to work on this head on. But we also have to be honest and transparent in our decision making. So if there isn't that happening at the highest levels, then, you know, it's not that we should need to sit around and pretend that that's not happening. And so we do need to be honest about this, but we also need to try to come together.
In our last few moments, Eric, what are you watching for next when it comes to economic policy over the next week or so?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the House and Senate come together to pass any sort of relief legislation. I know it's interesting to see how the Democrats are really focused on the types of things that will get the foot in the door of helping workers long term that won't also have to take away from other programs. So, for example, they want to do workers' compensation or paid time off, even on a temporary basis, whereas President Trump is talking about payroll taxes, in which case we'd have to take away from something else. So it's an interesting philosophical debate, and interesting to see if anything happens there.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Eric Giordano, Associate Professor of Political Science for the UW Colleges. He's also Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. We talked to him about the Trump administration's approach to the COVID-19 outbreak. We'll have more on the public health aspect coming up.